Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say good evening and welcome each and every one of you. Amen. I want to welcome you to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I will tell you that we're probably going to do worship, and then we're going to take a few minutes to pray because my prayer list is long today. I've gotten so many reports. Someone was getting surgery. Some people got sick and got hit with some stuff. And then someone smelled some poisonous fumes and all kinds of stuff. So it has just been a day where I've been getting report after report of people having situations that God is going to be faithful to take care of. Amen. So first we're going to worship. We're going to set an atmosphere. Then we're going to pray for people. And then we're going to get into the word. And you are going to be blessed tonight. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here. And let's take time right now to give your heart to the Lord. And let's worship him and let him know that we're so thankful for what he's done in our lives. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Will you stand with us tonight?
You turn it for good. You take.
see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy. Worthy.
Yeah. I speak Jesus, and what we're going to do tonight, over every situation, over everything going on tonight, here and everywhere in this world, we're going to just speak Jesus. Amen.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, speak the name of Jesus, woo, boy, that has my spirit stirred up, amen. I want you to know something that we can never forget, that we already know the outcome. We already know the outcome. Jesus is Lord. I don't want you to ever forget that there is a day in the future where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, praise God. I'm probably going to be, now you're lucky I'm going on vacation in about a week or so, because it's probably good for me. But, you know, when I come from vacation, I'm usually so relaxed and stirred up. But I tell you what, I'm going to be ranting about the name of Jesus.
Hold
Amen?
Up, hold up. Jesus is listening to you. You're usually so relaxed and straight, like you're calm. Is that what you're saying?
You mean
I'm
not?
I cannot let him lie to y'all. You know that.
You mean I'm not?
Oh,
praise
my word.
God.
If that's relaxed and calm,
but anyhow,
he will be fired up is what he will be.
Amen, amen. Amen. I will be remain fired up. But I will tell you that my biggest thing right now is Jesus. I mean, in everything that's going on, you know, there was a song, and I don't even remember when it was first written, but there was a song years ago written that said, Jesus is the answer, amen?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know that in the middle of everything that's going on, Jesus is the answer. I want you to know that in the future, Jesus is going to be the answer, amen? When we get to heaven, Jesus is still going to be the answer, amen? And I'm telling you that we can never forget that this time that we're on the earth is just a moment. And it's just a part of our journey. I want you to know something. You have got to understand that your life is bigger than your moment. And your life is bigger than the years you live, even if you live to be 90 or 110 or 120. Amen? And so we're going to take a few minutes while we're still in this atmosphere, and we have to...
Let me say something real quick before we go on, because I felt, I don't know, I'm just going to tell you, I felt a little bit of a pushback when we were singing a certain verse in this, and It's just in my spirit. Doesn't mean it's anybody here, but it could be somebody watching from live stream. It says, when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. And I just heard inside of me, I can't help but I hear these things. Who are you to say that you can do that? The word says I can do that.
Amen.
And I want to give it to you because I don't want you to think that we're making something up. That we're not claiming and we're not walking in an authority that Jesus Christ himself handed us mm-hmm. when he went in our place and when he went to the right hand of the Father. Amen. It says, verily, verily, John 14:12, and you can read it all. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. And greater works than these shall ye do because I go unto the Father.
Amen.
So whatever Amen. Works you saw Jesus do in that word, whether it be raise the dead, heal the leper, mm-hmm. or cleanse the leper, mm-hmm. blind eyes open, mm-hmm. deaf ears mm-hmm. open, mm-hmm. limbs growing, whatever it is, Amen. Greater works than those
Amen.
Are we going to be able to do because he's gone and Amen. He is sat at the right hand of the Father so that you and I can shout out the name of Jesus, believe upon his Amen. Word, and greater works will happen in this time frame. And this time frame, not it's Amen. Not past, it's not gone, it's not done away with. Healings are here and healings are for this day. Amen.
Amen.
As long as Jesus' name remains on this earth and there are people that will seek after his name and believe his word, these healings exist today.
Amen.
You Praise can have God. It today. Amen.
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 And you know, sometimes as believers, I think we need to be willing to understand that you can be in your house and your spouse can be sick or your children can be sick.
Amen.
You can lay hands on them in the name of Jesus and Amen. See them recover. Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to know something, that we're talking about shouting and speaking and walls coming down. Well, let me tell you something. Even before Jesus came on the earth and went up, even in the old covenant, God could come upon his people and they could shout and walls could come crashing down. Amen?
Yes.
Hello, remember Jericho? It came crashing down. And I want you to know something that they say, I wish I had kept this article because it's been a few years back now, but they say that there was archaeologists that went to where Jericho was mm-hmm. and they found a condensed perimeter around the city that said that we can verify that the walls just came shoving down, and they made a layer that archaeologists dug down to and said, wow, okay, we can verify that this is true. Amen. Amen. The word Amen. Is true. Listen, Amen. When we read the Bible, these are not made up stories. These are historical recordings of absolute truth. Amen.
Amen. And listen, when we get, let's get back to the point where you said, uh-huh. if there be any sick among you, the Bible says, if there's any sick among you, Amen. Call for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil, and Amen. You shall be healed.
Amen.
That doesn't mean the elder in the sense that we've thought it to mean mm-hmm. for years.
Yeah.
An elder named in the church is an elder. No, that means those that are mature in the faith.
Amen.
Because if we back it off to just meaning people that we put in authority in a church, that means that you don't have authority. That's not what the word just says. The word says that you have the authority because Amen. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He didn't Amen. Say you elders have authority.
Amen.
He didn't say you pastors have authority. He didn't Amen. Say you evangelists have Amen. Authority. He Yep. said you all have Yep. authority.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
So if you're sick, mm-hmm. don't hesitate to go Yep. find somebody that mm-hmm. you know is more mature in the faith and say, I need you to pray for me. And if you are that person, don't you hesitate to think that God's not going to work through you and Amen. Heal that person.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. When Hallelujah. You work the word works.
Amen. Amen.
When you do what the word says, he can't help but to be God. That's who
Amen.
He is.
Amen. Woo.
Amen. I think it's Praise us God. Who get these thoughts in our head and we put limitations on ourselves, which puts limitations on God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's limitless.
Amen.
There's no
Amen.
Limit on God. Amen?
Amen.
He can't fit in any box you have in your head. I promise you. I've tried. Yeah. I've tried to make him fit. And every time he blows it up and it gives me a headache because I can't understand how you are this big, God.
Amen. Praise
how can
God.
You do it all? How can your eyes be on me and Philip
Amen.
And Donna and Trey? And we're in Amen. Different areas. I'm going to Aruba soon. How can your eyes be on me? How can your eyes be on him and he's here? Listen, it blows my mind. How can you love a people that have turned their backs on you and hated the very word that you've given us? How can you love us? Like, if you spit on me that many times, I'm going to turn away and walk away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we've all experienced it. And I'm going to forgive you because I'm a Christian and I have to, and I'm going to love you. But I'm going to pray for you because at this point, you're counted an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for your enemies, right?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's not the way Jesus is. That's not the way our Heavenly Father is. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is repent. And his love has never left us, mm-hmm. ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's never stopped coming after us. He's never stopped watching. He's never stopped.
Amen.
Every person, Phyllis said it, I don't know how many times, every person that goes to hell, and we all know the word says that hell is enlarged daily.
Amen.
Meaning there was never meant anybody to go there.
Amen.
And for a soul to drop into it, it has to be enlarged and room made for that soul to go there. That's how much God believes in you and trusts in you and loves you, that he believes you're going to choose him.
Amen.
That he didn't make any room down there because he believes you're going to choose him. And Phil said, you say it, hell is enlarged daily. So you cannot tell me that God is not actively pursuing us at all times.
Amen.
And in order to not to receive him, we have to be running, screaming, fighting away
yes,
from him.
Absolutely.
That's running towards him.
We have to fight God to the fullness of our ability to not receive the opportunity to be saved. And right now, I'm just telling you that I've had so many prayer requests and prayer situations that we're just going to take a few minutes and pray for some of those that we know right here as a part of our family. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Holly and Brian for you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you have already begin to turn things around, God, but we loose healing. God, we loose the miraculous and the goodness of your ability to heal, set free, and restore, Father. And I thank you that your healing is upon them even now. Father, we pray for Carrie and for this thing that's been attacking him, Father, and for this ammonia situation that touched him, Father. And right now, I curse that at the root, God. I command that to come out of him, Father. I pray that all pain, God, that all coughing and sickness would leave him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for Cassandra and Devin, Father, that you have been faithful to them and their family, Father, and you have healed and restored them, God. And Lord, I just thank you for it. And God, I pray for Becky and Donald, and I pray right now, Father, for her procedure, Father. Lord, I thank you that it was successful, God, and that healing is coming upon her even now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I put Tommy before you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that you are doing a miraculous work, God, saving, healing, restoring. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We don't want to forget about new members Saturday.
Right.
So we're going to start at 9 o'clock.
Are you coming back? Or are you just
no, I got
talk
settled.
Okay. All right.
But we do want to remind you. I just didn't want to forget to remind them.
Yes.
New member, if you want to become a member of the church, come to our class, if you want to call it a class. But on Saturday, it goes from 9 to 12. We'll have some refreshments and food for you. And Phil can go over all the rest of that.
Amen. We're just going to get together and we're going to go through some things and spend some time talking, and we're going to share our little bit of our history and what we believe and then what we can do now. And so we're just going to take some steps there and have a good time. I want to remind you that the sign up is also out there for the marriage conference that's coming up, and that's going to be very exciting. Amen. And if you are not married, but one day you want to be, I would say, come to the thing. And if you've been married, even if you have the best marriage in the world, like Regina and I do, praise God. Amen? Even if you have the best marriage in the world, well, like Regina
I love you,
and
baby,
I do.
But I think there's room for improvement.
I want you to know that you can come, and if you need help, you can come. And I will tell you that it's just good to strengthen what you already got. Amen?
Amen.
It honestly is. You always want to be investing and pouring in, so make sure that you're doing that. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? I believe I'm supposed to let the children go now. Hallelujah.
I should have came back up before. I knew you'd forget them. Okay,
huh?
So we have you know, we are hitting our 10-year anniversary.
Woo.
How amazing. It doesn't even feel like it's been 10 years, but it's 10 years. So we're hitting our 10 years. So mark your calendar. When we get back on the 7th at 6:30 p.m. 6 o'clock p.m.
6 o'clock.
That'll be better. 6 o'clock p.m., we are going to do a celebration, and the apostle of our church, Pastor Peter Dosik, who started us, will be here with us to celebrate this Amen. Day that God has brought us into this place. Amen, and he has been with us every step of the way.
Amen.
And then if you have not already, but you're interested, please, if you're interested in trying out for the worship team, get with Linda Kaiser here, and she will let you know the steps to take to do that.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to know something, that we're going to take up the offering tonight, and I'm going to remind you that your God in heaven doesn't have needs. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! And I want you to know something, that when God came up with the idea of the tithing and offering covenant, if you read the word, he says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse so there will always be meat in my house. Amen? And what he's also saying is that when you trust me in this area and you give me out of what belongs to me already, amen? How many of you know that the Bible says that the whole earth is the Lord's, the fullness therein, and the people? Amen? So I want you to know that anything that comes through your hands, it's coming because of the grace, the goodness, and the blessing of God. Amen? And what God says is that he will bless the work of our hands. Amen? But when he introduces supernatural promises like the tithing and offering covenant, he's reaching towards you so he can touch your life supernaturally. Amen? The Lord says that when you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The Lord also says that when you bring your tithe and offerings into my house of worship, he says that not only will he rebuke the devourer on your behalf, but he will protect and increase your seed. Amen? And he says that he will touch the fruit of your body and the fruit of your household, which means that God takes time to partake in you, and that when you come in to a tithing and offering covenant with God, it is his way of reaching and putting his super on your natural. I want you to know something. I believe that the believer can work in a factory or any place, just like anyone else. But if they are in that covenant with God, what they make goes 10 times farther than someone who doesn't. And I want you to know something. Regina and I have seen countless times where God has turned our life around and has done the supernatural for us. And I know he does the supernatural for you. Amen? So I pray that if you're tithing and offering, just continue to be faithful, because the goodness of God is already being revealed to you and you have testimonies. But I want to also tell you that if you have never really been a tither and consistently giving, I want to just challenge you. Go on a journey with God in his word and use your faith and see what God will do for you. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray, God, that tonight, as we release our faith, Father, in this area, God, Lord, I thank you for all the benefits of your word. I thank you for all your covenant promises, God. And Lord, this is just one of those tremendous many. But Father, as people use their faith, God, as they overcome fear, doubt, worry, the ways of the world, God, and when they start using and operating within your covenants, Father, I thank you that the windows of heaven is open for them, Father. Lord, I thank you that you pour out blessing upon them, and God, I thank you that you help them in their life and you give them favor. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. I want you to know that I'm just so thankful tonight because I've just been reminded, you know, one thing that I want you to know is that the Bible says that even the disciples asked the Lord and said, Lord, you know, how will you help us and the world know it not? And Jesus said to his disciples, hey, for those of you who allow me and my Father to make our abode with you, we will come and make our abode with you, and we're going to be involved in your life. And there may be people all around you that don't see it, but we're going to be there. And I want to remind each and every one of us that in the world with everything that's going on, I got to tell you something, that even when I saw things that I didn't like over this last year or so, I got to tell you something. One thing it did not do is it did not shake my faith. It did not adjust my joy. It did not raise my anxiety level. And I want you to know something, that I believe the subject we've been talking about is critical for believers, because I want you to know something, that just like those songs we sang tonight, you have got to have a confidence, but your confidence is not going to be in yourself. Your confidence is not going to be in your ability to do anything. Your confidence is going to be in Jesus. Amen? And I want to share a few scriptures with you. Then I want to share one from the Old Testament going way back that is just the covenant promise. Because, you know, I just love the fact that God's word doesn't change. And I want you to know something, that God made promises from mankind from the beginning until now, and he's been faithful to every generation. Amen? And what amazes me is that no matter what mankind has discovered, first of all, our discoveries come from the help of the Lord. Amen? I want you to know something, that the first house was already on the earth available to man before he ever built it. Amen? Hallelujah. Trees, cement, and everything we learned over time to make was available from the first day till now. Amen? And I want you to know something, that God's word was not just written for the time where they walked and rode horses. Amen? I want you to know that God's word had in it the consideration that one day we would be people that had computers, we'd be people that had internet, we'd be people that could fly, we'd have people that would have vehicles with voices in them and GPS and all this stuff. Nothing surprises God, and I want you to know something, that the word he wrote from then till now is the word that is strong enough to reign through every stage of mankind and humanity. Amen? I don't ever want us to forget that the Bible says that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will still remain. Amen? I want you to know something, that the Bible says that no matter how much knowledge we gain, and no matter how much we know as humanity on this earth, no matter how smart we believe we become, the Bible says that while we're on this earth, we only know in part. Whew. Shane, do you know that you have a name written in heaven that can't even be spoken in earthly language? Woo! Praise God. You guys think I'm crazy and radical now. I don't know how I'm going to be when I step in the fullness of the name God has for me stored up in heaven. Amen. Can you imagine this portion of me being any crazier? But I tell you what, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says he has a name written that we wouldn't even be able to announce in our English language. Pronounce, announce, whatever. If you're going to announce something, you have to pronounce it. Amen. Whatever. But anyhow, what I want to tell you is that every one of you have a deeper identity than you even know now. But I'm excited about this because here's what I want to know. We're going to reveal this tonight, but I want to remind you that John chapter 5, verse 24 and 30 says this. It says that until we receive Jesus, we don't even pass from death into life and begin to live. So what I want you to know is that in order for you to even have the opportunity to discover the fullness of who you are, salvation must take place. Salvation must take place. Because I tell you what, the Bible says that when we're saved, remember, even Jesus, as great as he was on the earth and as powerful as he was before he was saved, even though he walked on the water, even though he multiplied fishes, even though he raised from the dead and he did all that, do you know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? It says that once he has been resurrected, we should know him no more as who he was before. We should know him after the resurrection. And then it says this, in fact, we should not know anyone. Unless we know them after the resurrection. In other words, the Lord is saying in the Word of God that my children cannot come into the fullness of the trueness of who they are as a person, of their identity and their potential until salvation has helped them become the fullness of the new creature we're supposed to be. Amen. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Lord says that when a man is born again, or a woman or a child is born again, you become a brand new creature in Christ. Amen? Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. And guess what? You take on all kinds of identities that you may never have had before. Listen, before you were saved, you might have been one angry fella or one angry gal. Boy, I hope I can't get in trouble in this politically right culture nowadays using terms like fella and gal. I hope not. Woo! But anyhow, what I want you to know is that I'm telling you that there are natures that we displayed because of hurt, brokenness, fears, abuses, people calling us names and saying things to us that were never meant to be a part of our identity. I'm telling you that many of us have carried burdens for a long part time in our life, even sometimes after salvation, because we've held on to words, names, and things that are not a true part of who we are. I got to tell you something, that I have known some very powerful people, even strong people, physically tough people. But once they got saved, leaving those identities, they became stronger and more powerful who God really created them to be. And I will tell you that sometimes when we're leaving old identities, it might be a scary thing. If you've always been someone who was hot-headed, mean, bitter, angry, I'm telling you that even the devil will try to make you think, if you give up this way you've always been, who will you be? I promise you a better version of yourself. I promise you, you will find who God really created you to be, and you will begin to live life in a way you've never lived it before. Amen? So I just want to remind us of some things that we discovered because I think it's so powerful to think about this because sometimes, especially as Americans, and especially growing up just in the culture and in the nature of how I grew up, I got to tell you something, especially as a young man, I was told that I should never cry. I should never display an emotion. And I was never allowed to express my problems or my fears. I was supposed to be able to get through anything in life. And the essence of being tough was this hidden identity that said nothing should bother me. Hallelujah. Boy, it's quiet in here because I know that's resonating with a lot of us. But I want you to understand something. That God has spoken some things over us that are different than that. Here I was growing up trying to live under my own power and my own strength and doing things out of my own efforts, not knowing that the Bible says that there's a way that seems right in the minds of men, but it will only lead to destruction. And then there's a way that's right, that is the wisdom of God, that will lead you to blessing. Amen? So I want you to know something, that we've been throwing this out this whole time over the last few sermons, but I really want to remind you again today that it says in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life," Jesus is speaking, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Remember, John 10:10 says that the Lord says, "I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." Amen? I want you to know something. The Lord does not want you to live a life where you're living in fear all the time. The Lord does not want you to live a life where you're living in depression all the time. The Lord does not want you to live a life where you are poor, sick, discouraged, lack of self-worth, lack of self-value. None of those things is the life that the Lord has for you. I want you to know something. The Lord expects you to be filled with joy. The Lord wants you to have peace. The Lord wants you to have enough to give to every good work. He wants you blessed. God wants your life touched. He wants you to be a light. And the Bible says that the Lord wants you to be so blessed that others will come and ask you about the hope that's in your heart. And you should be able to tell other people, "Hey, I'm this way, not because I do it on my own, but I'm this way because I'm saved and the Lord has changed me." Amen? Woo, praise God. But it says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in thee which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Woo! But here's what I want you to hear. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So I want you to see that Jesus was successful because as a man on this earth, before he went to the cross, he didn't do anything out of his own strength. He relied on God the Father. Can you say amen? Amen? That was my trick. Now I got you trapped. Because what you're saying amen to is that you believe that it was a good idea for Jesus to not do anything on his own, right? You believed it was a good idea that he reveals to us that he did everything with help from the Father in heaven. Well, guess what? That should derail half of our plans. Because we've made too many choices to do stuff in our own strength. And I want you to know, in the same book of John, we have to go out a few chapters, but in the same book of John, in just 10 chapters later, after Jesus tells us his secret of his great success, in John 15. Woo! And we could read John 15, 1 through 5, but I am really going to just focus on here because it says in John 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I got a question for you. Have you ever seen a branch separated from the tree it was a part of? Have you? What happens to the branch that is separated from the tree? It dies, right? Hallelujah. It dries up and life leaves it. You know, I'll tell you what, when I was younger, I used to try to grab tree limbs and pull them off of a tree. And sometimes you can grab a tree limb and just hang on it and hang on it. It ain't gonna pull off. But I could pick up a tree limb off the ground, off of that same tree that had fallen down, and I could just hit it and break it like I was a superhero, amen? Till I found out later, that ain't no big deal. The tree's dead. It's as weak as it can be. But I'm telling you what I'm saying that because the Lord says that if we ever separate ourselves from him, we're not going to have strength. And he says this right here. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Here's what I want you to know, Christians. It is critical for us that if we're going to stay strong in the faith, especially in today's world, we can't go weeks without reading the word, praying, and even being in church. We can't do it. We got to keep ourselves attached to Jesus, and we got to keep ourselves fortified. You know, I've given you this example before. Boy, if I went out and bought me a, well, if you like Ford, you could buy a Ford F-150, right? But if you like Chevy, you could buy a Silverado, amen? And you could get yourself a big, fancy truck all leathered out, ready to go, and you can say, hey, babe, get in my car. We're headed to Florida. Woo! In my truck, right? Get in my truck. We're headed to Florida. And I can fill that vehicle up and have my gas tank full, and buddy, I can hit that highway, breaking the speed limit a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. I ain't gonna lie to you. You have all that power, and I tell you, you're gonna tap that gas a little bit and get above that speed limit sometime. Woo! But here's the deal. If I just stay on the highway, and I drive from here headed to Florida, and I never get off and refuel, even though that's a powerful truck with a powerful engine, brand new tires, ready to go, air conditioned, radio, listen to preaching, listen to worship songs, no matter what I'm doing, if I let that vehicle run out of gas, guess what? It's going to be sitting there with all the elements, but none of the ability. And I want you to know something, that for believers, when you use your faith, you exhaust it. When you release prayer, when you release faith, when you do things, let me tell you something, you are using up resources. That's why you got to come back and you got to be refortified. I promise you, if you stay too long out of the church, you stay too long out of the word, you stay too long out of prayer, you can be the best Christian in the world. It's going to wear on you, and before you know it, depression's going to set in, discouragement can come, fear can come, things can start to fall back apart, because I want you to understand something, that you have got to stay in the race. Amen? You have got to stay in the fight of faith. Amen? Amen? Remember, the Bible doesn't just say fight a fight of faith. It says Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. So that means that if you can fight a good fight, you can fight a bad one. Amen. Amen. I couldn't watch it the other day, but there's an old Rocky movie that came on. Amen. And I just flashed back to a Rocky movie. And I tell you what, when Rocky first got going, buddy, he was poor. He was fighting. And, buddy, Rocky won because he was hungry. But in the movies, after he got a little bit successful, he got too caught up in TV or whatever they do, filming him and all this other stuff. And he had a fight where he got beat up because his opponent was hungrier than he was. I want you to understand something. Believers, even in your faith, if you're not careful, you can find yourself in cruise mode, and that could set you up for letting your candle burn out. Amen? Listen, we should always have a reason to pray, not just for ourselves, but for other people. We should always have a scripture in our heart, not just for ourselves, but for other people. And we should always be striving to stay connected to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. And here's what's so powerful about this. I love this because what we need to understand is that even Jesus said to his own disciples, now that you believe, you get to ride my coattails down the lazy river and do nothing. No. He said, now that you believe, I need you to continue in my word. Why? He said, because the same word that has started your freedom and started your life will continue to make you free. It will continue to increase who you are. It will continue to build you up into a strong faith where you can live this life from a place of authority. Amen? Well, I tell you, people don't like to know it, but the Bible says that you're supposed to reign in this life. Does that mean that you're going to be president or king sitting on a throne somewhere? No, not necessarily, but it means that your family should be empowered, you should be empowered, and there's people around you that should come to Jesus because they see what's going on in your life. Amen? I want you to know something that the Lord says in his word, that we can, out of our own power, do nothing. And I want to remind you that God has been making this promise to mankind from way back in the Bible. Amen? And so tonight we're just going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 20 just for a moment, because I just want to have you see some words that was spoken even way back then. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3, now go and you shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint, fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with thee to fight for you against your enemies to save you. See, I want you to understand something, that in the old covenant, we see lots of times where they were having physical wars, amen? But in the New Testament, oftentimes the battles we're going to fight are sometimes in our mind. It's sometimes just the voice of people against us. It's relationships, it's life, it's bills, it's pressure, it's all these things like that. But God gives us a promise that he is going to journey with us at all times. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God wants to help you. Amen? I want to remind you of something here in the book of Luke. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Luke chapter 12, and I just want to share a couple of little things with you. It says in Luke 12:4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." Whew. Now listen to me. I don't want to die early. I don't want someone killing me. But I tell you what, I will stand for my faith. And the Bible says here that even though death is one of the scariest thing that can happen to us, and it's something that we never want to be touched by, I want you to know that the power of God in your life is greater than this, because it says, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, he shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." I want you to know something. Death is not the scariest thing you're ever going to face. In fact, if you're in a relationship with Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible actually says fear has no more hold on you. I got to tell you something. My mom has went on to heaven. She only gets a little break. Because one day, I'm going to go to heaven and she's going to have to put up with me again. Amen? I was her youngest child and I was spoiled so bad that my brothers and sisters would complain about how spoiled I was. Amen? So she gets to go to heaven before me and she gets a little bit of a break. But one day, I'm going to see my mom again. And I want you to understand something. Every one of you needs to understand that God has taken the fear of death away from us because he has given us Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? And I want you to know something, that Jesus even told his disciples, listen, don't fear men and what they can do. But listen, your biggest reverence should be for the one who has the power to give you eternal life. Amen? And I want you to know something, that Jesus said, listen, be confident of this. God doesn't allow a little bird to fall to the ground without being aware of it. But you are more valuable to the Lord than any other creature on the face of this earth. And the Bible declares that you are so much more valuable. God cares way more about your life. Amen? And so I want to just speak to you tonight about the fact that in this world, with everything going on around you, rest in the Lord. Be at peace. Even when the news is not good, rejoice. Even when you see things going away that you don't want to see them go, rejoice. Because I will tell you what, we're going to look at this throughout this year. But one thing we've got to accept is that the Bible says that things are going to take place that we're not going to be excited about. But the Lord says that when you see nation raging against nation, and when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, it's not a time for a Christian to be scared. It's a time for a Christian to make sure they're looking up, make sure they're focused on the Lord, make sure you're living for him, and make sure you're sharing with others the opportunity to know God. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen? You know, I want you to know that in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that before we were saved, we were weak. It says that before we were saved, we were without strength. Listen to me. People without Christ are going to suffer addictions. Listen, people without Christ they're sometimes going to be suicidal. People without Christ, they're going to be struck with fears, anxieties. They're going to have angers. They're going to have all kinds of things going on. But I'm telling you that you as a believer with Christ, if you walk with the Lord and you give him every area of your life, you're going to find that God will heal, set free, and help you be strong. Amen?
Yeah.
Woo! You know, I'm going to tell Regina, Pastor Regina, after this sermon, that she can't yell at me anymore. I'm going to tell her, honey, I'm endeavoring to do everything with Christ. I'm going to try to do everything, not out of my own strength, out of his strength. So if you yell at me, you're going to be yelling at Jesus. Woo! Praise God. I'm just kidding you, but I'm not kidding you about this. Our God will strengthen you in every measure of life. Amen?
Amen.
And I want you to know something. And I'm going to just share this with you in closing. Guess what the worst thing Adam and Eve did in the garden? What was the worst thing they did? Right. Come on. The worst thing was not eating the forbidden fruit alone. The worst thing was when they found themselves opposing God, they hid from him instead of running to him. And here's what I want to tell each and every one of us. Sin is terrible. We never want it going on. But what's worse than sin happening is sin remaining, because we don't repent and we don't run to a loving Jesus who will forgive us and help us and recover us and restore all. Amen? You know, sometimes in the Bible we'll take stories and we'll emphasize the wrong part of them. One day I was reading about Peter, and I'm telling you, we used to preach the dog snot out of the idea that Peter was walking with the Lord, got his eyes off of Jesus, started looking at the storms and circumstances, and he started to sink. It doesn't say he sank. It doesn't say he gasped for air and got his lungs filled with water and choked and Jesus had to throw him over his shoulder. It doesn't say anything like that. It says he began to sink, but he immediately put his eyes back on the Lord. The Lord reached for him. He put his hand in there. Peter stood on that water, and they both walked back to the boat. Woo! We forget that part of the story. And I want to remind you that it's one thing to have something go wrong, but the worst thing than having something to go wrong is you forget that you can't fix anything on your own, and you just keep trying to go on and on instead of coming back to him and submitting to yourself to him who says you can't do anything on your own anyway. Amen? Amen. Woo! Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, tonight, Father, I pray, God, according to your word, it says that anyone who will humble themselves before the living God, that first of all, when we humble ourselves towards God, we resist the devil, he flees, and God, you can bring us up and lift us up, Father. Lord, I pray that every one of us, especially in this environment today, Father, we would remember that we can't take a step without you, God. We can't do good without you. We can't be great husbands and wives and fathers and brothers and sisters and co-workers and just neighbors and people in general, Father. We can't do any of this thing on our own. It's been your desire from the beginning to walk with man, to protect us, to help us, The Bible says that you are our front guard and our rear guard. It says that you'll go before us and you come behind us. And God, you're always with us. And Father, I pray that tonight and every night, Father, we will rest in you, we will lean in you, and we will remember that we can't do anything on our own strength, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whoo, praise God. Hey, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hey, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I pray that in the next day or two, the Lord just gives you the opportunity to tell someone about his goodness. And I pray that you'll do that. Someone might even after tonight ask you, man, how do I make the Lord the Savior of my life? Pray with them, believe with them, and stand with them. Amen? Because you are meant to do these things, and God is with you. Amen? God bless you. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And those of you who are coming to the new members class on Saturday, we're going to have a good time. Amen? We're going to snack a little bit and talk about Jesus. Amen? Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here.